Hi, I'm Janice Min, Chief Creative Officer of The Hollywood Reporter. Recently, we brought together filmmaker and Oscar winner Spike Lee with presidential candidate Bernie Sanders. Lee has endorsed Sanders, even though his wife supports Hillary Clinton. But until this day, they had never met in person. The director interviewed the Vermont senator, and it made for a revealing conversation. Topics included their shared Brooklyn roots, President Obama, gun violence, Black Lives Matter, Donald Trump, and the senator's narrow path to the nomination. Here's the interview. I hope you enjoy it. You can also watch the full video on THR.com.
Sir, how you doing?
Great.
I just want to start off by reading you some of Brooklyn's finest. Michael K. Williams, Shelley Winters, Wolfman Jack, Barbara Streisand, Marissa Tomei, Joe Turi, John Turturro, Mike Tyson, Carl Sagan, Adam Sandler, Jerry Seinfeld, Bugsy Siegel, Lou Reed, Joan Rivers, Chris Rock, Eddie Murphy, Biggie, Larry King, Little Kim, Al Capone, The Three Stooges, Moe, Jay-Z, Michael Jordan, Harvey Keitel, Jimmy Kennel, and that's it. And you. What is so special about the borough, the Republic of Brooklyn, New York?
When I was in the Senate, we had three United States senators that came from one high school, James Madison High School in Brooklyn, New York. Now, you got great athletes, you got great intellectuals, you got great entertainers.
Artists.
You know, it's a fantastic collection of people. But why
is that?
Who knows? But I think it's a lot to do with a very vibrant community of people who, in many cases, did not have a lot of money. Some immigrants, some born here.
People can afford to live in Manhattan.
There you go. That's right. And who struggled and whose parents wanted them to do something. Education was very important in all of this you know. Mm-hmm. And I think people's bouncing off of each other, you know, good minds bounce, and a lot of great teachers, by the way. Let's not forget, that speaks a lot about public education. My guess is 90% of those people went to public schools in New York City.
Right. And the diversity of Brooklyn, too.
Absolutely. Right. No, it was a great place to grow up for me. And you've given the results of that. It was a very vibrant community, a lot of great people.
So how you go from Brooklyn to Vermont?
By car. Mostly it was by car. about a 7-hour trip north. I grew up in Flatbush, and when I was a kid, I went to Boy Scout camp, and some people will remember this, up in Narrowsburg, New York. Does that ring any bells? A big 10-mile river Boy Scout camp.
I only know about Lake George, that was it.
That's right, not that far away, actually. And it was the first glimpse that I had of the country. And you know what? I really liked it.
Didn't see the country, went to Prospect Park.
Well, that was part of the country. Saw the elephants. Yeah, we fed the elephants. Yes, we did. But, I really was impacted and felt very comfortable being in the country. And then many years later, went to Vermont, and that's where I stayed.
Let me ask this. What do you have to do to get the older generation of the African-American vote? Because the older generation, black folks, they know the Clintons 20-some years.
That's right.
You're like the new guy on the block.
That is exactly. You got the issue. We're doing phenomenally well with all of the young people, white, black, Latino, you name it, Asian American. And we're getting killed, frankly, not just with older African Americans, older whites, older Latinos. It's the weirdest thing in the world. And what really bothers me is I spent half my life in the Congress helping to lead the effort for senior citizens in terms of fighting all those people.
But they don't know that.
I don't know. We're figuring out how to get it out. But we've led the effort against cuts to Social Security. We want to expand Social Security, taking on the drug companies who are doing terrible things to elderly people. You know, people, seniors are cutting their prescription drugs in half, standing with the veterans. So we have a lot of work to do in terms of reaching out to seniors, not just African Americans, but seniors all across the board.
Do you think that Mrs. Hillary Clinton has advantage with her relationship with President Obama? I mean, what is your relationship with the president?
It's a good relationship. And by the way, your point about, people knowing the Clintons and the African-American community for 25 years.
And then when black folks saw Bill Clinton play the saxophone.
That's right.
Arsenio Hall.
First black president, right? Obama's only the second black president.
No, no. Toni Morrison said that Bill Clinton was the first black president. Right. She said that.
All right. So, I mean, that's what we're up against. Your question was?
About your relationship with the president.
It's a good relationship. Okay.
Do you think that Hillary Clinton has an advantage, though?
Well, she was Secretary of State with him for 4 years. Mm-hmm. Let me be very straight about this. This president is will go down in history as one of the smartest presidents we've ever had. He's got a brilliant guy.
It's going to take a couple of years to look back from this,
yes,
though, right?
Yes, you're right. You're right. Although I think people are beginning to catch on after they...
I know that, but yeah. In general...
Yeah. And especially the more they hear from the Republicans, the smarter they think he is. But but he is also incredibly disciplined and focused. And you take it for granted.
Smart, too.
Smart, brilliant. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're around the media every single day and you have the opportunity to say dumb things. Mm-hmm. He does it very, very rarely. Mm-hmm. He is very focused. And he came to Vermont to campaign for me way back in 2006. I worked on his elections in 2008 and 2012. And, you know, just was in the Oval Office a couple of months ago. So we have a very positive and, I think, friendly relationship. Is he closer to Hillary Clinton? I suspect. Okay. You know, she was his Secretary of State for 4 years.
When did it hit you, I'm going to run for the United States of America? When did this happen?
It struck me when I got to tell you, there's a funny story that every day 100 people brush their teeth and they look in the mirror and every one of them says, there is the next president of the United States. That's the definition of the U.S. Senate, all mm-hmm. right? Honestly, I was not one of those people. I
love that wasn't you, huh?
It wasn't me. I love my state. Very happy to be the senator. But this is what I concluded, Spike. Mm-hmm. With all due respect to Secretary Clinton and everybody else, it is too late for establishment politics and establishment economics. The problems facing this country now are so serious, are so deep, that the same old ain't going to do it. And what we need to do is create a political movement, what I call the political revolution, where millions of people come together, stand up.
And coalition, right?
Coalition, absolutely a coalition. You know, based on the trade union movement, the civil rights movement, the women's movement, the gay community movement, and bringing people together to tell the billionaire class that they cannot have it all. And that's the case right now. People don't appreciate how much power Wall Street has, corporate America, the corporate media. And we got to take them on.
Bernie, 99 Americans die every day in this country due to gun violence, a third of those by suicide. I know Vermont is different from Bed-Stuy, Do or Die, the boogie-down Bronx, Chirac, Philadelphia, right. Bayou Mamre, Maryland. So can you explain to me what your views are? Because
absolutely.
I had a couple of questions, you know, about...
Okay, well, let's do it. Here is the point. Your first statement is right. Vermont and rural America. People talk about guns. You know what they're talking about? They're talking about hunting. Mm-hmm. And it's something that, you know, my state, tens and tens of thousands of people do. They take their kids into the woods. There's target practice. There are antique gun shows. And that's what guns are. I do know mm-hmm. that guns mean something very different around urban America. And what we have got to do is get a handle on this horrific gun violence. There's no question about that.
Right.
I have a D-minus voting record from the NRA. All right, D-minus voting record. And I've stood up to them for years. In 1988, Spike, I ran for the United States Congress in the state of Vermont. I lost that election because I was the only candidate who said that, you know what, maybe we should not be selling and distributing military-style assault weapons in this country, weapons designed just to kill people.
Right, this is in 88?
Yeah, in 88, way before.
Way back.
And I lost that election, and maybe that was I lost by 3 points, and perhaps that was the reason.
So 3 points in Vermont is 5 people?
No, it's 12 people, actually. No. And, you know, my view is that right now, we have got to deal with this. You know, every week, every 2 weeks, we're seeing, you know, mass shootings. You're right. I mean, there's a lot that has to be done.
But can the NRA and the gun manufacturers and the lobbyists, it seems like they're so strong that they're invincible.
I don't think so.
Okay,
this is
tell
what
me why.
This is what I think. I think there is a consensus about what we should be doing.
Even very flag waving, NRA
yes,
members agree
yeah.
about
look,
common
no,
sense.
No, 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 no. That's right. Common sense. All right. You know, and that means that if you tell the average gun owner in the state of Vermont, guy goes hunting, and you say to him, "Look, we got to do everything we can to make sure that people who should not have guns do not have guns." They'll agree with you. Not everybody. Overwhelming majority will agree with you. We also need to know that, especially with these kinds of shootings that are going around, Spike, there are, as you know, on a day like today, any day, there are thousands of people walking the streets of America who are suicidal and who are homicidal. I get calls in my office from people who say, please help us find mental health treatment yeah. that's affordable that we can get to. Mm-hmm. And people are having a hard time doing that. We need to address that issue as well.
Bernie, what does Black Lives Matter mean to you?
What it means is that we are all sick and tired of seeing unarmed people shot by police officers. Young people in African American communities are harassed by police officers, where police departments are not there to be supportive, but are in many cases oppressive. And that's an issue that has got to be addressed.
Trump, have you ever seen a film Face in the Crowd?
Yeah, I did.
Do you see a correlation between Lonesome Rhodes, played by Andy Griffin, and Donald Trump?
Look, understand, at least in my view, he is an entertainer, by and large. And, you know, he did very well on television. He knows the media very, very well. Don't underestimate him. Mm-hmm. And God knows who he is, really, but we see what he personifies on TV every night. He knows how to manipulate the media very effectively. He knows how to, you know, do what he does with people. But let me just reassure the viewers, Donald Trump is not going to become president of the United States. That I can...
Would you agree that he's possibly the Frankenstein that the GOP has created, and now that, like the novel, they got a monster in their hands and don't know what to do with it?
Oh, absolutely. No, there's no question. The establishment Republicans are going nuts. And, you know, this could lead to a real dissolution of the Republican Party as we know it.
Who are the people who are voting for him? When a guy says, I can stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue, shoot somebody, even saying that no one, 99 Americans die every day, and you're going to shoot somebody and no one's going to not vote for you, that's insane to me.
Well, that's virtually every day he says something that's crazier than the day before, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, what can you say? But here's what I think is going on. I think the establishment has underestimated the contempt and the frustration that the American people have, a segment of the American people have with politics as usual.
Washington, D.C., right?
Yeah, yeah. So when he says, look, I'm not them. Mm-hmm. They say, okay, that's good enough for me. You're not them. That's all that I need. And the other thing, there's a lot of anger out there and a lot of reasons for the anger. But one of the reasons for, you know, these 60-year-old guys, white guys voting for Trump is in many cases they are working longer hours for lower wages. Mm-hmm. They're seeing their jobs go to China. They're seeing their jobs go to Mexico. They are scared to death about the future of their kids. And they don't see anybody doing anything about it. And Trump comes along and says, I got the solution. We're going to scapegoat Mexicans. And we're going to build a wall a mile high.
We're going to make Mexico pay for the wall.
Oh, absolutely.
A 25-foot. Now, how are you going to tell a country, you got to pay for it, something they don't want anyway?
That's a pretty good question, I think. But and the other thing is you scapegoat Muslims, all right? So, look, you know, and I know that the history, you know, what politics has been about, not just in this country, but around the world, when there are real crises out there, right?
Right.
And people are angry, what do? You don't get to the real issues as to why people are hurting. You scapegoat. So that is nothing new. That's what demagogues have always done, and that's what Trump is doing.
I'm very proud to be a tenured professor at NYU University. Costs more to go to NYU than any other school in the United States of America. If you're born with the wrong zip code, I mean, you're behind from the jump. Can we talk about education,
sir? Yeah, let's talk
about it. And also, more than half young black men do not graduate high school, which is a direct pipeline for an industrial prison complex.
You got it. All right, you're giving my speech here. All right.
But from Brooklyn.
All right, and here's what I say every day. Real youth unemployment in this country, which nobody talks about, by the way, is off the charts. For African-American kids, 17 to 20, who graduated high school, mm-hmm. real unemployment is 51% today. 51%. Latinos, 36. White kids, 33%. And of course, what ends up happening, instead of investing in education for those kids or jobs for those kids, too many of them are ending up in jail, and we have more people in jail than any other country on earth.
And a lot of these prisons are privatized, too, so is a business now.
You got it. And that's why we have introduced legislation that would end the private ownership of prisons and detention centers, by the way. Corporations should not be making money in this country by imprisoning people. So this whole issue of criminal justice, of keeping people out of jail, which means jobs and education for younger people, it means taking a hard look at this war on drugs. You know, since in the last 20, 30 years, millions of people have police records for possession of marijuana.
And let's be honest, President Clinton was responsible for sending a whole lot of people of color to prison, which she apologize for. But if I spent 10 years in prison, I mean, that apology is going to be not going to be enough.
That's right. But I think what we have to do, focus, what we have to focus on now is rethinking the war on drugs. Right now, I don't know if you know this, under the Federal Controlled Substance Act, marijuana is a Schedule I drug right alongside of heroin. Isn't that pretty crazy?
Yeah.
All right, so I think we're going to take, you know, I have introduced legislation to take marijuana out of it. It should not be a federal crime. States can legalize it if they want to. There is an enormous amount that we can do. And I think, by the way, the American people are fairly united on this. And you know why conservatives want it? Because we're spending $80 billion a year locking up people. And nobody thinks that that makes
how
sense.
Much, how much education?
Not That's right. That's right. So in terms of education, look, this is what I think. You and I were kids. First grade through 12th grade was what free public schools, right?
Public schools in New York City were great then.
Really were. Absolutely. No, I went to a great school. Teachers were great. Parents took education seriously. Free public education, first grade through 12th grade. Well, you know what?
And you go to City College, too. That was free.
Ah, all right. You're jumping ahead of me here. All right. All right, here's the point. Today, the world has changed, right? Economy has changed. Technology has changed. People need more education. And I believe that when we talk about public education in America today, we've got to be saying that it includes free tuition at public colleges and universities. All right, is that a radical idea? I don't think so. Your point was that 50 years ago, how much did it cost to go to City College? Probably virtually nothing.
Nothing.
Right. University of California, great university, virtually nothing. So if we could do it 50 years ago, I don't know why the hell we can't do it today, and that's what I want to do.
Last thing, I know we're running out of time. Hillary Clinton, yourself, are we in? Are we in the bottom of the ninth inning? What's happening here?
I'm feeling really good. I honestly am. We have won six out of the last seven caucuses by landslide victories in every single case, more than 67-70%. We're in Wisconsin in a few days. I think we have a good chance to do well there. We're coming to New York City.
Uh-oh.
And you know what?
How do we do in New York?
I think we're going to win New York. I think we will. It's going to be a tough fight. She was the United States Senator here for 8 years. But I think we got a real shot to win it.
For you're from Brooklyn. You're not scared, though, right?
Oh, no. No, in fact, I look forward to it. I'm very excited about it. I mean, the beauty, one of the great joys of New York City, as opposed to a state like Iowa or Wisconsin, is you got to travel long distances. But here, you know, you're 15 minutes away from another population center. So we're going to do a whole lot of rallies in this city. We're going to go back to Brooklyn, spend a lot of time in Brooklyn. We're off to South Bronx tonight. I think we're going to have 10, 20,000 people out there.
And the boogie down.
Yeah, the boogie down. We're going to do really good. I'm feeling good.
Well, thank you.
Hey.
It's an honor.
It's an honor for me.
You got my vote.
I've seen and enjoyed almost all your movies.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much.